year-old boy opened fire in a high school, killing two students and injuring 18 others. Police have not yet identified the gunman or released any information about what motivated the attack at Marshall County High School in Benton, Kentucky.
Residents gathered last night for a vigil at a local church.
Don't go to thinking this, well, what did somebody do to deserve this? And that's exactly what it's talking about. In life, evil makes no sense. It is unpredictable.
This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The president is preparing to head to Switzerland this evening to attend an economic forum that he'll be addressing on Friday. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
President Trump will be accompanied by 10 cabinet members and other top advisors at that economic forum of global elites. As the administration was preparing for the president's departure, it was firing back at global perceptions that the United States is now anti-globalization and against free trade. Gary Cohn, the head of Trump's National Economic Council, saying America first does not mean America alone. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Despite the murder rate increasing in America, there was an overall decline in violent crime during the first half of last year. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The FBI released the report for the first 6 months of 2017, with over 13,000 law enforcement agencies submitting information. Overall, violent crime decreased 0.8% when compared to 2016. The number of murders and non-negligent manslaughters reported increased 1.5%. The number of rapes, using a new definition, decreased 2.4%, robberies decreased 2.2%, while aggravated assaults declined 0.1%. I'm John Clemens.
And finally, we're hearing in Hawaii that the reason the governor delayed in telling the public that the widespread missile alert was a false alarm was because he didn't know his Twitter password. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. This is your host, David Lazar. First, we're going to do the weather. Tonight, it will be partly cloudy in Hunterdon County with a low of around 21 and winds of 6 to 9 miles per hour. And tomorrow, it will be partly sunny with a high of 37 and winds of 7 to 10 miles per hour. We will be back after this short break.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. Welcome back to Destination Hockey. This is David Lazar. I am here with my co-host, Jared Flax. And today we've got a great show in store for you guys. We do not have a guest, but I would like to thank Chris King for coming on last week. It was an amazing first episode. We got off to a great start. I've been talking with Mr. King, and he really enjoyed the questions, and he definitely enjoyed talking about hockey, which I hope you listeners who might not like hockey will enjoy doing for the coming months on my show. So I'd like to welcome Jared Flax into the show, a fellow co-owner of Drive for Five, my Islanders Instagram account. Jared, are you there?
Hi, how are you? I'm right here. How are you?
All right, great, Jared. Thank you so much for coming on again. It was an amazing week last week. Unfortunately, we had some technical errors, but I am now completely familiar with the radio and everything that they have here. There's a bunch of buttons and stuff I learned before the show today. So we are definitely more prepared than we were last week and very excited to start the show. So first, we would like to talk about our plan for this episode and next week. We have an amazing episode in store today where we are going to introduce a new segment we're going to do. We're going to start doing some segments on the show to make it a little more like a real hockey radio show, which will be very fun. Then we're going to talk about the All-Star Game, which is coming up on Sunday at 3:30 on NBC. And then we're going to talk about the Olympics and as well as talk about the Islanders, Devils, and Rangers for some local hockey. So first, last week, a major theme of our episode was the Metropolitan Division. It's in a crazy division where it's the best teams in hockey coming together, playing almost every night and really coming together to give each other competition and try to fight for 5 playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. 3 will most likely go to the Atlantic and 5 to the Metro. So right now I would like to look at the standings where we have some shakeups from last week. The Washington Capitals are still in first. They've built themselves a nice 5-point cushion with 61 points. And the Devils, they are falling drastically. They are really shooting themselves in the foot here after an amazing start. They're at 56 points. And then you've got the Philadelphia Flyers. They are surging here. They are on a great win streak. This is their second big win streak after losing 10 in a row, I believe. And they are at 56 points, tied with the Devils. Then you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets coming in the wild card spot with 55 points. The Pittsburgh Penguins with 55 points tied with the Blue Jackets, although they have played 2 more games. The Rangers coming in with 53 points tied with the New York Islanders, which we will be talking about shortly. And the Carolina Hurricanes are giving themselves slight separation with last place with 50 points. They were supposed to be a surprise team this year but have not done too great, even though the Metropolitan Division is still close and anyone can take it. So, Jared, I just want to come to you and just ask, how do you feel about the Metropolitan Division? How do you feel about how the teams and the shakeups that have taken place in the last week?
As you said earlier, the Capitals have built a nice 5-point cushion for themselves, and that is expected. The Washington Capitals are one of the top teams every year. But the surprising thing is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're a second wild-card team. They've had a very big up-and-down year this year. They did not have a good start. They've sort of come back into it. But like you said, they've played 2 more games than the Columbus Blue Jackets, and both of the teams at 55 points. They have played the most games in the Metropolitan Division and are sitting in the second wild card spot, which to them might not look good. And in my opinion, that's not good for them. The previous Stanley Cup champions, and they're actually not having that good of a year, and it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the year they don't make the playoffs. As for the other teams, you said it, the New Jersey Devils are in second place with 56 points. They're having an okay last week. They haven't done too good. The Flyers, like you said, are on a surge. They're moving up. Last week, I don't even believe they were in a playoff position, and this year they're 3rd in the Metro. And then you also have the Islanders and Rangers sit just outside of a wild card spot with 53 points each at 49 games apiece. And that's the matchup that's probably going to make that second wild card spot at the end of the season. Because I personally believe the Penguins will make a playoff spot. They've had an up and down year. I think that it's going to go down and down and down, which is very surprising. But I think it's going to be between the Islanders and the Rangers at the end of the season. It's going to be really interesting to see which New York team makes that position in the second wild card spot.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season. Every game is important. And, you know, teams are standings watching. It's something that, you know, as fans, as journalists, as whatever you want to look at it as, like, we don't think that teams look at the standings. We think they just go out there and try to win. But teams look at the standings. I know Doug Wade in the past has even taped the standings, printed them out, and put it in the locker room. Teams care about the standings, and when it's this tight, every game matters. Pittsburgh Penguins, I want to summarize them, you know, just summarize it with this, that they are just tired. They're not a complete team like they used to be, and injuries are really hitting them just like they're hitting the New York Islanders. They are just in a bad place right now. They're still keeping pace because they are the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have Sidney Crosby. They have Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin. But right now they're struggling, and who knows what will happen with them as the season concludes. I really hope, as an Islanders fan, they don't make the playoffs, but it always seems like the Pittsburgh Penguins will be in it. So right now there's 8 teams. Any 5 of them can make it. It's important to note that the Toronto Maple Leafs are in 3rd place in the Atlantic Division, the other division in the Eastern Conference, with 57 points. And the next closest team to them in the Atlantic is the Detroit Red Wings with 46. So it's basically confirmed that you're going to have 3 teams in the Atlantic and 5 in the Metro. So, you know, 5 out of these 8 teams are going to make it, 62.5% of them. And Who's going to get it? Is it going to be the Islanders, the Rangers? I think I agree with what you said. I think that April 5th matchup, I believe it is, between the Islanders and the Rangers will be a very telling game. I think that will have major playoff implications. So speaking of the Islanders and the Rangers, both of them are on big road trips right now. The Islanders are in Arizona and Las Vegas. The Rangers are in Los Angeles and Anaheim. And both teams are struggling as of late. The Islanders had a big win against Chicago on Saturday. They really dominated a strong Chicago Blackhawks team. Anthony Beauvillier, Matt Barzal really came to play. Ross Johnson, Brock Nelson all showed up, and it was a great game. In Arizona, however, and I want to come to you and ask you about this, you were watching the game. I was prioritizing my sleep, unfortunately, but I do want to just ask you, they lost to the worst team in one of the worst teams in hockey in the Arizona Coyotes. They lost in overtime off a very tough goal. How did you feel the Islanders played in Arizona?
I would say the first period was pretty weak, very weak period. Not a lot of skating and momentum by the guys in the Islanders. Second period came around, Beauvillier, I believe it was Beauvillier who scored the first Islander goal, and it was pretty nice. It really kind of turned them around, and it got them going again. But then they gave up another goal later in the game, and then Beauvillier actually tied it in the third period. And so the second and third period were a little bit better than the first, but not too much. The Islanders got outshot, or the Islanders actually were outshot earlier in the game and actually started putting on a lot more shots toward the end. They really did pick it up. But overtime was just a really back-and-forth game, and the ending was just an absolute disaster. And it ended with us giving up a goal with no one covering the goal scorer. A lot of people, if you follow our page on Instagram, at Driver5, you'll see a lot of people commenting stuff about John Tavares, and that was a lazy play. Personally, I do why people are saying Tavares playing lazy, he was just getting backwards, but I believe that man was Beauvillier's man. Beauvillier played a great game, and don't get me wrong, since he came back up from Bridgeport, he has played very well and surprised a lot of people. But last night in overtime, I feel that it was his man that scored the game-winning goal, and he should have covered that man in front of the net.
Yeah, great point. I actually posted on our Instagram, Drive for Five. For those of you who are unaware, we come from a website called Drive for Five. We have an Instagram, Drive for Five. It is a 4, as in the number, and 5 spelled out. We cover the Islanders as they drive for their 5th Stanley Cup. That's where the name comes from. And on our Instagram, we posted a hot take that a lot of people disagreed with, where I watched the highlights. I watched the full, 11-minute NHL highlights on their app. And I saw the replay of John Tavares skating back in overtime. And I love John Tavares. I'm not going to sit here and trash our best player. But a thing that hockey fans seem to do, all sports, if you're unaware about hockey fans, but, in hockey there are a handful of stars in the NHL. There's about 15 of them. John Tavares is certainly one of them. He's one of the top 3 centers in the league, I think. And he's a great player. But a lot of times what fans seem to do is give players a free pass just because they're a star. I think John Tavares deserves blame for his play in overtime this year. If Tavares has played a little more competent, I'll use that word, in overtime, the Islanders would be in a playoff spot right now. They'd have at least 2 more points because John Tavares has cost the Islanders 3 games in overtime this year. He doesn't skate back, he doesn't hustle, and he really doesn't play like he should as one of the league's top players. He doesn't know how to take a change. And part of this falls on Doug Waite's shoulders. Doug Waite puts him out there every other shift when you have players like Matt Barzal, Anthony Beauvillier, Jordan Eberle, Anders Lee, Josh Bailey, Brock Nelson, even Ross Johnson, Casey Cizikas, Kyle Clutterbuck. You have all these players that are safe players, yet John Tavares always finds his way out onto the ice, turns it over, doesn't skate back. And, yeah, he's had some good plays. The Philadelphia Flyers game on November 23rd, I believe, in Brooklyn, he had one of the best plays I've ever seen with an amazing assist to Josh Bailey. But even on that play, he got himself caught in a corner, and if Sean Couturier was a little stronger, that's a breakaway. The Islanders lose that game. So it's a hot take. It's one that many people won't agree with. But before we go to the break, I just want to get that thought in your head about how John Tavares is an amazing player, but maybe in overtime he needs to be a bit better. So that's it for the first part of our show. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to do something called Trending and Not Trending. So stay tuned for that.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. I am here with Jared Flax, my co-host, and right now we have a great segment in store for you. But first, I just said the name of the show, Destination Hockey, and a lot of you might wonder about the name. So to our loyal listeners who listen to the first one and plan on listening in the future, I would like to go to Jared, and I would like to talk a little more about the name. So Jared, where did this name originate from?
Well, we were going about names, and we had no idea what to do. We knew we wanted to talk about hockey because that's what we love. And I believe someone brought it up to us, correct?
Yes, it was a follower on Instagram who, you know, we got the conversation started. And basically the original name, and Jared didn't like it, but we wanted to do something revolving around a pun of some sort. So a follower suggested Pucking Hockey Show, and that had a reference to a bad word, basically. So we kind of wanted to stay away from that, but that was kind of the backup plan we had. But then a follower, DK Danny Boy, thank you so much to DK Danny Boy, because without him, the show would not have this name. And he suggested Destination Isles, because it's like Final Destination. It could be the theme song. It could be a great name. And I said, you know, we're not going to do just Islanders. We're going to talk about all hockey. But then I said, what about Destination Hockey? He loved the name. So thank you to DK Danny Boy. You know, he's the one who suggested that name, and we're very thankful to him for that.
Yeah, we are very thankful for that. There was a lot of other names that we were deciding between, and Destination Hockey just, at first, like David said, I was against the name. I thought we could do better, but I've come to like the name personally. It's got a ring to it, and I hope that when people think about hockey in Hunterdon County, they think about Destination Hockey, and what hopefully got a lot of people into hockey after listening to our show.
Yeah, so you summed it up right there, Jared. Thank you so much for explaining that. I think it's, you know, great to talk about, because Destination Hockey in Hunterdon County, you don't have a lot of hockey. So we are your destination for hockey. We're the destination for hockey for Islanders fans who come from Drive for Five, to my relatives like Uncle Barry, happy birthday, by the way, and my aunt all over the world. So, you know, we're very, you know, thankful that we have this great following, and we are your destination for hockey. So that's where the name comes from. We got a great logo. We've got a widget on our site, driveforfive.blog, where you can listen to it. We've really set up, and I'm very proud of where this show's coming. So, speaking of where the show has come, we are going to do our first segment on the radio. There usually are segments. You know, people don't just talk for hours, and we do not do callers on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio due to the risk that presents. So we, you know, try to make it creative with segments. So we're going to start off with doing a segment called Trending and Not Trending. And what this segment means is Jared and I are going to go back and forth talking about things that are trending in the hockey world and not trending. It's kind of like hot or not, but we're doing our own little spin on it. You know, I feel like trending is a very trending word, pun intended, but I think that's what we're going to go with right now. So first on my trending list, and I know Jared has a very interesting list, is the Boston Bruins. On my trending list, this one's kind of an obvious one. The Boston Bruins are just an elite hockey team right now. On paper, their roster isn't great. You might not think that going into the season they were going to, you know, go on a streak like this, but they have points in 17 consecutive games. That is just an unbelievable feat. Hasn't been done since the 80s for them, and with yesterday's victory, the Bruins matched, as I just said, their 15-0-2 streak from January 5th to February 13th in 1983. Just an unbelievable feat for them. They're dominating on all fronts. They have two amazing goalies, Tuukka Rask and Anton Khudobin, who have been two of the best goaltenders in the NHL. It's rare that you get a goalie tandem. I know the Islanders have tried it, but it's rare that you get a goalie tandem that's actually successful. Thomas Greiss and Yaroslav Halak for the Islanders would certainly be in the not trending category, although they have been better as of late. But goaltending tandems don't usually work, but for Boston, it's just unbelievable to see the goaltending they're getting. Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron are leading the team offensively. They are just unbelievable offensive players who can do it all. Brad Marchand is kind of a rat. That's his nickname. He's a cheap hockey player, and I am not a big fan of him, but he gets it done. He's an elite player. He is a dominant offensive force, and he's a great defensive penalty killer. He does it all, and Patrice Bergeron is the best defensive forward in the NHL, in my opinion, right up there with Anze Kopitar, and I just love to see what he does. He's one of my favorite players in the NHL, and he just got snubbed of the All-Star game, as we will talk about later. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, this team had low expectations and was not expected to go far. But after coming off a big win against the Devils last night, they are one of the best teams in hockey and are definitely in the trending category. And speaking of not trending, speaking of the New Jersey Devils, we are going to do our not trending category as the New Jersey Devils. In New Jersey, you know, a lot of local hockey fans are Devil fans, but they don't really, you know, follow the Devils. They might go to a game once a year, watch five games a year, not really be active fans. So we are going to try to get you on Destination Hockey to be more hockey fans and, you know, really talk about hockey as much as we can. But the New Jersey Devils are many of my listeners' favorite team, and they are really, really struggling right now. They are on a 2-6-3 slide. This team had a closed-door players-only meeting following Monday night's 3-0 loss to the visiting Detroit Red Wings. And in this meeting, it was rumored that they discussed changes that can be made, systematic changes, and just the positive attitude they need to have going into the season. And things didn't go too great in a Boston game on Tuesday night. They struggled. They cannot get calls. The New Jersey Devils and the refs don't seem to be on the same page a lot. The Devils really seem to get screwed. And one thing I really want to touch on is just that the Devils every year don't have a great roster. They haven't had a good roster since the playoff appearances, the Adam Henrique, it's over goal. But they always are in it. They are always in it until the trade deadline. They usually have some sort of slip up, and then they sell. And every year it seems to be the same narrative. But this year they start off on this amazing start where they were certainly trending, and now they are just losing so often. I think they've won four games since mid-December. They just are not a good hockey team right now, and there's their fall that they have every year, and now they're still second place in the Metro. They've been second place in the Metro throughout this whole fall, but they went from having a 10-point gap in the Metropolitan to having no gap, and now they're risking falling out of the playoff spot by the end of the weekend and by the All-Star break. So that's it for my trending and not trending, and now I'm going to come to Jared, who will talk about our keyword of the day to our loyal listeners. We're going to do this every week. Our keyword of the day this week is Matt Martin. Again, if you DM me on Instagram at Drive4Five with the keyword, you will get a special shout out and a prize. So please, again, the keyword of the day is Matt Martin. So Jared, I'm going to come to you for your trending and not trending selections.
So I'm going to start off with my not trending, and it has to do with the keyword of the day, Matt Martin. Right now, Matt Martin has a little bit of a bigger contract for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it could hurt them and limit them what they could sign in the future, maybe even John Tavares if he becomes a free agent at the end of this season. Matt Martin has only 3 goals this year, and he is not playing that many minutes. Matt Martin is averaging a shade under 8 minutes a game and 6 over the past 7 games, and was skating an extra in practice the other day as per Andy Graziano. And what's interesting to me is that when Martin was an Islander, he played a lot more than that and did a lot more than what he's doing with Maple Leafs. It's a lot to think about with Matt Martin. You know, he was a very big fan favorite for the Islanders. He completed the E equals MC squared line, which was Matt Martin, Casey Zizekas, and Cal Quarterback. And personally, if it were to happen, I would trade for him and get him back. Because to have that fourth line back, I know most likely it's not able to happen, and there's a lot of other players or a lot of other things that go into a trade, but Matt Martin is just a solid player that the Islanders had and happened to lose in free agency a few years back. And if we were able to make a trade, like a small trade, just to get him back and throw him back in the mix with Quarterback and Zizekas, I think it could turn this around. And that's my not trending, Matt Martin. My trending is the slashing penalties this year. Those are absolutely insane. The slashing penalty rate has almost doubled from last year and has accounted for 10% or 1 out of every 10 penalties this year, for minor penalties, that is. And this season, 1 out of every 6 whistles is due to a slashing infraction. Every other minor penalty has been called either at the same rate or less than it was just a year ago. This fact is absolutely insane. Obviously, we, as many hockey fans know, the NHL was cracking down on slashing, and I think they're going a bit overboard in this case. You know, they need to play; they need the pace of play to be up a lot. I think a lot more 5-on-5 is good for players. Obviously, people might want to see more power plays, and that's where this is coming from. But they got to chill out with the penalties. There's going way too many penalties, and the slashing is just becoming just atrociously huge in numbers for calls.
Yeah, you touched it. You touched on it great. The slashing penalties are just not something I want to see in the NHL, and I will continue to talk about this on my next trending and not trending selections. But the physicality in the NHL, it's disappearing. Michael Haley, contrary to this point, I just want to. It's just a funny fact, but it seems like in the NHL, East Coast hockey, especially, all of us are on the East Coast. East Coast hockey is just turning into this speed game. No one plays physical. There are no enforcers in the East Coast, and it's unfortunate because watching games is, you know, not as fun. But Michael Haley yesterday found a way. Let me get the exact number. My friend Jake texted it to me earlier. Michael Haley found a way to take 39 penalty minutes last night. I'm sure some of them were slashing penalties, who knows, but lots of fights, lots of physicality. There were 4 fights in that game in a row, and, you know, fighting is a dying breed. It's rare that you see a game like that. So for my not trending, I want to talk about roughing penalties specifically, because you talked about how slashing penalties are up 17%, or up to 17% this year, up 7% from last year, and all the other penalties have either stayed the same, they've stayed the same rate, they're getting called the same rate, or they have gone down. And roughing is one of those that have gone down. Their roughing penalties are down 3% this year, which may not seem like a lot, but that is a huge number. Physicality is dying. It is changing the NHL, and we are not seeing this physical play that we used to. Matt Martin departs the Islanders, and now the team is at the bottom of the NHL in terms of fights. Teams like the Rangers don't get any fights. Teams like the Devils focus on speed. East Coast hockey, especially the tri-state area, has completely died. It is not physical anymore, and it is just a speed game. I think it's unfortunate, and I think for our not trending category, physicality and roughing penalties and just all stuff related to that is a very appropriate thing to talk about because the NHL is changing, and until we see a change in the other direction, I'm not sure how the Islanders are going to fare with this current roster because they're kind of walking a thin line going half and half. They have players like Matt Barzal, who actually has one of the best penalty ratios, penalty differentials in the NHL. He takes very few penalties and draws so many because he's so fast. You've got forwards like Anthony Beauvillier and John Tavares who are pretty fast, but then you've got a little bit of physicality with Ross Johnston, Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, but they're kind of in the middle, which I think is a concerning place to be because to be completely honest, if you're going to be in the middle, then you're going to have troubles in both categories, which can lead to some issues. And speaking of Matt Barzal, for my trending category, I want to talk about him. Matt Barzal had an amazing feat in the Arizona game on Tuesday night, my apologies. And he was just an amazing player, skating fast, really just going out there and dominating the game. And he had 50 points in 50 games this year. He has 50 points in 52 career games this year. And the only players to do that are Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. I think there might be one more player that I'm drawing a blank on right now. I don't have that written down. But that's just an amazing number. Matt Barzal is up there to be better than on pace, better than John Tavares, better than Nikita Kucherov, better than all these amazing offensive stars. And he's just doing so well right now. He is the heart and soul of this team. He stabilizes a second line that has been terrible ever since, I don't know, the dynasty era, to be completely honest. The Islanders have not had a good second line for a while. Franz Nielsen was a solid center, but he didn't have any wingers. And the team has not had a good second line for a while. So Matt Barzal has come in and given the Islanders a 1-2 punch up the middle that is really unprecedented in the NHL. Matt Barzal and John Tavares are two amazing players, and it's really just a witness to behold seeing them go out and play every night together. We talked about this with Chris King, and Chris King really raved about Matt Barzal. He's not just a kid who goes out there and uses his talent. He's a smart kid. He's great with the media, great with charity, great with fans, and it's really nice to see him, you know, really going out there and being a great player on and off the ice. So that's it with our trending and not trending category. But there is one more thing I'd like to say relating to this. It's not exactly trending in terms of the NHL or not trending in terms of the NHL, but it is trending in terms of hockey in Hunterdon County. We are trying to bring back on Good Morning Hunterdon, our morning radio show earlier this year. We had a great interview about Flemington Ice Arena. My friend works there, Kyle. He is one of the employees there. There's a lot of great business going on there, and that arena's back after having a very big scare of closing. The local hockey team, the Devils, are doing very well, even though they've had a fall and are in our not trending category this week. They've been doing amazing, and they're back, really. They are competing for a playoff spot, which they haven't done for a while. There is rumbling about there being a hockey team added to the North Hunterdon High School Voorhees School District, which has not been talked about for a while. You have a Facebook page coming up where hundreds of families, almost 100 families, are coming together and trying to campaign to get a hockey team for the school. And now we have this show on the Hunterdon County Radio where we have a radio presence about hockey. So I do want to say thank you so much to everyone for a great first show, for a great show today so far. And hockey's back at Hunterdon County, and that is definitely our final member of the trending list. So, Jared, we do have a little bit more time. We've got about 10 minutes before our second break, but I do want to just talk about Las Vegas. If there's a place hockey is trending right now, it's not Hunterdon County. It is Las Vegas. It is an amazing city. Hockey is really the heart and soul of that city right now. After the Las Vegas shooting, which tragically took the lives of over 50 people, hockey is just really doing great there. It's bringing people together, and it's exciting to see. The Islanders are making their first trip to Las Vegas on Thursday, which is tomorrow. And how do you think the Islanders are going to go up against one of the best teams in hockey, if not the best team in hockey, and try to finish strong before the All-Star break?
I think it's an interesting matchup. You know, you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who are the currently number two team in hockey, and they are the best expansion team to ever come into existence in the NHL. I give Georgia Spee a round of applause for picking this team. They have shown that they are capable of what people did not think they were able to do. Earlier in the season, the Islanders played the Golden Knights and won 6-3. It was a very nice game, but tomorrow I don't expect a similar game. I expect a very back-and-forth game, low scoring, a lot of shots, a lot of speed, not much physicality in the game, as you said before, with the physicality rates going down. But I want to talk a little bit more about the Vegas Golden Knights more than the Islanders for a second. They have truly shown that they are one of the top-tier teams in the NHL, and that is incredible. Like I said before, they are the best expansion team to ever come into existence. And it's absolutely amazing that they have come so far and are still moving with the passion. And the rate that they are playing is just absolutely impeccable. And what I want to say is that we had a podcast called the Drive 5 Podcast prior to this radio show. And I said, as a season prediction, the Vegas Golden Knights would do better than most people would think they would do. And I placed them not in last place and not in a playoff position. I placed them in the middle of the standings. And I was proved wrong. They are doing much better than I thought. So for tomorrow night's game, I'm actually going to give a prediction. I'm going to say the game's going to go to overtime, and the Vegas Golden Knights are going to win in overtime, sadly, as I would love to say the Islanders are going to win. But I predict the Vegas Golden Knights are going to win in overtime. And I expect tomorrow's game to be a very good game.
You got a score prediction?
I would say 4-3 Golden Knights.
Okay. That's a great prediction. I do want to attest to what you said. You did say on the Drive 5 podcast we were doing season predictions, and I think you kind of sold yourself short there, because to be honest, we were talking about teams that will surprise. And you didn't say, oh, the Vegas Knights would only be in the middle of the standings. You said the Vegas Golden Knights would be in the middle of the standings as opposed to being last in the league. The Vegas Golden Knights had expectations of being the worst team in hockey. People looked at their roster and thought they would literally be the bottom of the standings. People thought Buffalo and Arizona would be surprise teams this year. No one thought Edmonton would be where they are. And people thought that the Vegas Golden Knights, who are the best team in hockey right now, would be the worst team in hockey with their roster. They traded a lot of good players, and they really didn't have that great of a team on paper, but look what they're doing. They're coming together as a team, which is very important. A lot of times you see teams like the Islanders not having a team, just having two top lines, no defense. But the Vegas Golden Knights are a team, and that's why they're doing well. So I do want to comment on that, because you said they'd actually do better than most people expected. You didn't say they'd do bad. So good to you on that one, because I think you actually predicted them to do better than most people did. I do want to talk about tomorrow's matchup again. The Islanders are playing the Vegas Golden Knights. It's going to be a great game. As a player, I would just be so excited to go into a new arena. But the Islanders are going into the arena of the best team in hockey with one of the best fan bases in hockey. And I know they will have a few extra Islanders fans. I know my dad has actually taken the trip down to see them play in Vegas. I know a lot of fans in Las Vegas aren't Vegas Golden Knights fans. They're tourists, so the Islanders should have a solid presence. But the Vegas Golden Knights are an amazing team. They're going to really give it all they have, and I would like to attest to your prediction and say that I agree. I think the Islanders will be outmatched tomorrow. They don't have a great defense. The Vegas Golden Knights have an amazing offense, and I think the Islanders will lose 5-2, and I think William Karlsson, who has been one of their best surprises, will put up two goals. So that is my prediction on that. And I think it's a fair prediction, because the Vegas Golden Knights have been an amazing hockey team, and the Islanders have disappointed. So with that, I think we're going to take our second commercial break. It was great to talk about the Knights. It was great to talk about hockey in Hunterdon County and do our first trending and not trending segment. So thank you to Jared. Thank you to all of our listeners for making that happen. And we will be right back after this short message.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property, can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Gracias for listening to Destination Hockey on the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. We have a Spanish presence, as you can see with our commercials, but I think that only makes the show better. Hockey is not just limited to people who speak English. You could be a hockey fan and listen to it in Spanish too. So we have Spanish commercials for you guys. So thank you for listening. And there are different types of hockey. There's the NHL, there's the WHL, AHL, KHL. Different types of hockey leagues, as you know, they're all over the world, but one very special tournament that this year has been destroyed, you can say, I will make that claim, has been the Olympics. The Olympic rosters were just released, and boy, has it been underwhelming seeing this roster. It is just sad to see, as Jared will discuss in a second, but I do want to talk about why it has been so terrible. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, has decided that he will not let NHL players go to the Olympics, so the NHL season is not disrupted. This was considered a selfish move by many, so he could get his season over in time and he cannot have to lose games and extend it. And, you know, I really disagree with the decision. However, you do have some justifications behind it. You don't want the NHL season, you know, running long. You don't want the NHL season being disrupted by the Olympics and injuries. John Tavares, this was a very tragic, tragic memory for a lot of Islanders fans, and I'm sorry for bringing it up, but there are a lot of tragic memories in Islanders history in the recent history, so I'm sorry. You'll hear a lot of them in this show, and if you're not an Islanders fan, you will get to learn about our dark past, but this was a pretty bad one, and it was one of my worst memories as an Islanders fan. And this was John Tavares getting a torn medial collateral ligament and meniscus in his left knee after he was checked by Latvia's Arturas Kulda during Canada's 2-1 victory on Wednesday in February on a game. So you have John Tavares, the Islanders' best player, one of the best players in the world, getting checked by a Latvia forward and tearing a meniscus in his knee, and he was out for an extended period of time. That was almost career-ending, but thankfully he came back and was stronger than ever. But is that a reason to hold players back? Is the NHL being delayed a reason to hold players back? It's a complicated debate, but when you look at the roster that includes an American roster of players like Garrett Rowe, Brock Little, Bobby Butler, Chris Bork, Will Borgen, you know, you probably don't even recognize any of those names. It's very unfortunate and will make the Olympics much more hard to watch. So, Jared, I want to come to you. How do you feel about the United States? And then if you want to talk about Team Canada, if you have time, how do you feel about those rosters?
I'm actually very upset with the rosters because of the NHLers in it. I'll talk about them in a second, but you brought up a good point before about NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and how people consider it a selfish move. And a lot of the players think that, and I want to name a specific player, Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin is very passionate about his Russian identity, and he said it many times before, that he's very passionate about his identity. As many of you probably don't know, Ovechkin comes from an Olympic background. On the Russian Olympic team, and so that's really where he gets his passion for his. I said that he is very mad that he doesn't go and isn't able to represent his country in the Olympics, and it's something that a lot of players are upset about. A lot of Canadians are like that too. If you look at the Canada roster this year, it is not like it's been years past. One of the things that I want to bring up is that there are former NHL players there. And I'll name a few. Representing Canada, you have players like Kevin Poulin, who was a former Islander and is a goaltender. For America, you have players like Brian Gionta and Jim Slater who are playing. But mostly it's not professional players. It's a lot of some college, some junior players who are representing their countries. And to me, it's very upsetting about that.
involved. Ooh. I don't think you guys can just hear what I just said. I am sorry for that, but we are back after a few difficulties. I think my mic was having technical difficulties, but we were having a few technical difficulties there. Jared's call went out and my mic went out. So we are back after a short break. I'm sorry for the dead air, but we were talking about the Olympics. And I think it's important to keep in mind that the Olympics this year will be different. As Jared discussed, you have players like Rob Klingenhammer and not great NHL players because the NHL is not allowed to go. So again, I'm sorry for the brief moment of dead air. We did have some technical difficulties, but I think we're going to come back and talk about the Olympics for a little bit. I do want to touch on, you know, the Sound Tigers and the Islanders that are present in the Olympics, whether it be Kevin Poulin or David Leggio. Seeing a possible championship game between David Leggio and Kevin Poulin for Team USA and Team Canada, respectively, is just, it's scary. It really is scary. It's not something that, as a fan, you want to see, and it's not something that is great a great look for the NHL. The NHL is going to be playing their games as usual on their Monday night games, their Thursday night games. They're going to get their few weeks of hockey that they would not have had otherwise, but you know, the NHL, I think, made a regrettable decision. So, again, sorry for that dead air. But now I'm going to come back to Jared. And we do want to move on to the All-Star game. We're going to do a little bit of an All-Star game preview here. And we are going to do some MVP predictions, pick the team we'll think will win. And I do want to talk to you about some injury replacements. So, Jared, we're going to start off with your MVP prediction. Just a rundown for listeners who do not know, the NHL All-Star game is split into a 3-on-3 tournament where three players skate on each side. There are four teams, the Metropolitan, Atlantic, Pacific, and Central Division, and they play in a tournament, and the winner takes all. They get a large prize, and it's a great tournament. So there are a lot of stars in the tournament, and Jared, I want to come to you and just ask, who do you think the MVP is going to be for this tournament?
Like you said, there are a lot of good all-stars and all-star players playing in this game. Just to name a few, you have players like Nikita Kucherov in the Atlantic Division, Austin Matthews. In the Central, you have Patrick Kane, Tyler Seguin, Blake Wheeler, P.K. Subban. In the Metro, you have Bailey, Crosby, Ovechkin, Tavares, Letang. The goaltenders, Braden Holtby and Henrik Lundqvist. In the Pacific, you have Goudreau, McDavid, James Neal, Ekman, Larson, Fleury, just to name a few. But I see the MVP of the All-Star game being a goaltender from the Metropolitan Division. I see Henrik Lundqvist winning the MVP. Henrik Lundqvist is a very solid goaltender for the New York Rangers, and I see him coming out as the MVP.
Great prediction. Must be tough as an Islanders fan to say that. But I'm also going to make a tough prediction that is tough for me to say as a hockey fan in general. I'm going to pick one of the most hated men in hockey as the MVP. I'm going to pick Patrick Kane. I think the Central Division is very stacked right now. I think they're the best division in hockey, and they have the players at the All-Star game to show for it. It's a great team. They've got physicality, they've got scoring, and they've got defense, and they also have two great goalies. And I think the Central's going to take it, and I think Patrick Kane's going to put up a scoring show, and I think he's going to win MVP. Now time for our predictions to see who we think will win. It's obvious that you think the Metropolitan Division will win, and I think the Central Division will win as our as the tournament goes. But I do want to talk about who you think will play the Metropolitan Division in the finals. Do you think it will be the Central Division or the Pacific Division?
You said it yourself, the Pacific Division, or the Central Division, my bad, I'm sorry. The Central Division is a very stacked division. And I think it'll be them versus the Metro, and I see the Metro coming out on top. I'm not basing it based off of what I'm about to say, but just a little thing, Taylor Hall's never lost an All-Star game.
That is true, but Taylor Hall will most likely not be playing in the All-Star game this year. He is out with an injury. And that is very important to note because I do want to talk about Gary Bettman again and discuss a rule that he implemented that I am in heavy disagreeing with. That does not really make sense, but I disagree with it very much because it is a terrible rule. The Islanders got two players this year, John Tavares, Josh Bailey. The Devils got one player, Taylor Hall. The Devils are doing great this year. They are second in the Metro. They're putting on a show with their young stars, and Taylor Hall was their lone All-Star selection. However, Taylor Hall goes down with an injury, and you're going to see an injury replacement most likely coming in. However, due to a rule, when a player goes down with an injury, the normal rule of having one player selected from each team falls out, and the Devils will most likely not be without anyone in the All-Star game. You have a team like the New Jersey Devils, a team of young stars from the New Jersey area, and they're not going to have a representative this year, most likely. And that is very unfortunate. I don't like the rule. I don't like how Taylor Hall is most likely not going to play in the game, so then a Devil most likely won't play in the game. I think that's pretty terrible, and it's not something I'm very happy with. So I hope that rule changes. I hope maybe the coach of the Metropolitan Division team, Barry Trotz, I hope he picks up Nico Hischner maybe, or even Brian Boyle. That would be a great story to replace him, but that most likely isn't going to happen. You're going to see Phil Kessel most likely coming in, and the Devils will be without a All-Star representative this year in their best season in recent memory. It's pretty terrible, but that's the NHL for you, and that is the rule that is in place. And I do want to talk about with our last topic on the show, you have Braden Point and Patrice Bergeron, two great players in the Atlantic. Point made it over Bergeron to replace an injured player, Victor Hedman. So how do you feel that injury selection shows some potential Tampa Bay bias?
I don't really know about the bias part. It is an All-Star game, and All-Stars are supposed to be picked. I see where people are thinking about the Tampa Bay bias, and I understand it. But you made a good point earlier about the injury rule and how every team used to be one person per team was selected. But I disagree with that. It's called an All-Star game for a reason, and the top player is supposed to be representing their teams in the game. And if a team doesn't have a top-tier player to play, then I don't feel that they should be represented. Many people might disagree with that, but that's my feelings about it. And I do not see much bias towards it at all.
Okay. It is an All-Star game. The best players should be in it, so I respect that opinion. However, Patrice Bergeron has 40 points in 41 games. Point has 43 points in 48 games. Bergeron's an elite defensive player, a captain, an assistant captain, a star of his team. Braden Point's a role player, so I think that is important to point out. But with that, guys, I am deeply apologize for the moment of dead air we had. I did lose connection to Jared, and we did have a brief issue, but I think we responded well. We got some talking about the All-Star game and the Olympics, and I think we had another great show. We battled through technical difficulties again to talk about hockey in Hunterdon County, which is rare, but this was Destination Hockey with David Lazar and Jared Flax. Next week, we will be with Andy Graziano, who is an SNY writer, and we will be talking Islanders. We will be talking NHL. We will be talking about the All-Star game that would conclude, and it's going to be a great show, and we've got a lot more guests going on, so it's going to be a great show. Thank you so much, guys, for listening, and again, the key word was Matt Martin, so I know a lot of you guys want to hear that again, but thank you so much for listening. And I hope you guys all have a terrific night.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Sir, I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months.
The judge in the Larry Nassar case, now that was after 156 of his accusers addressed the court. The judge also talked about the circumstances leading up to the trial.
I believed that maybe there was a defense here, despite the felony information. I was ready for trial. The Attorney General's office was ready for trial. You, sir, decided to plead because there was no medical treatment. You did this for your pleasure.